It's February 13th, 2010. I'm Mike Benedetti. This is episode 100 of 508 Show About Worcester. Here, the long-lost Jeff Barnard, Wormtown Taxi, Tracy Novick, and her daughters, Brendan Milliken, Buck Paxton.
Good morning, sir.
And once again, we're outside in the healthy weather. It's a little snowy today. Today on the show, this is our 100th episode, and this is a weekly show where we talk about what's going on in Worcester today. In particular, we're going to try to talk to people about what they think is promising in Worcester in 2010, where we're going to see some unexpected goodness coming from in Worcester this year. And hopefully we'll surprise people. I think people who watch the show are pretty plugged in, so a lot of these things you'll probably say, oh, I know that, but hopefully there'll be a couple new things. Do you guys have any...
You did that whole thing with the sun to your back.
I know.
So it'll be difficult to actually make out your face.
Those are the breaks sometimes. Brendan, I wanted to ask you about something promising for 2010.
Shoot.
Google Fiber.
It's pretty amazing stuff, right?
What is the deal here?
Google is looking to... They've been going back and forth with the FCC for years now, trying to make the case for an expansion of actual high-speed internet. Something that I think Americans take for granted a lot is that we actually have some of the slowest internet access in the developed world.
Also expensive for the speed.
Very expensive for the speed. And a lot of that is... It's probably one of the only places where the free market has kind of fallen short, where there's very little reason for the telcos or, you know, the cable companies to invest in infrastructure, right? Because essentially what they're doing is, this is kind of the whole argument about when it comes to internet, get me out here. What's the buzzword these
network
days?
Network neutrality.
Net neutrality. It's very difficult for a company to justify investing in tubes, pipes, when it's only going to benefit other companies. So we've been very slow on the uptake around here. Google now seems to be putting their best foot forward, and they want to kick off a gigabit fiber program, but they want to do it on at their own cost. And they're opening up the door to communities to apply to Google for this project, where they'll basically come into a city like Worcester, provide gigabit internet access.
Wasn't there a limit on the number of people that would actually be served by this?
They're looking
like
for
10,000?
They're looking. What I read was communities between 50 and 500,000 on the.
I mean, the actual customers that would actually get this.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, they're not going to just roll out to a city because
You guys need to stand next to each other so the microphone can hear both of you.
Yeah, I don't expect that they're going to roll it out to the entire community all at once or any community that wins. But one of the interesting things about Worcester is if you look at, like, say, Charter, and we use them for the baseline of internet access, there's only, if I remember, this mid 20,000 or so households that have Charter cable. Cable customers. I mean, of course, there's going to be, you know, the Verizon customers. There's still some dial-up people out there. There's a million different ways to access the internet. So who knows what that number actually is? But it seems that the best guess is in the mid 20,000 range for households receiving.
Which is piss poor for a city with 175,000.
Exactly. But you know what Google's doing that seems interesting is they're looking to accept applications from multiple sources. So it looks like they want to take an official city application that, say, like Mike O'Brien or the IT department for the city would fill out, but then as many other outside applications from interested parties as possible. So you and I could apply. Clark University could apply.
We could apply on the behalf of Worcester or behalf of ourselves?
Both. Okay. It's basically making a case for why Worcester should be brought into this program, given something rather incredible for free. And why it would benefit both Google and Worcester to open up the doors. It'd be interesting to see what happens. As of this morning, Kate Toomey was saying that Mike O'Brien is working on it.
Okay.
And yeah, I don't know. We'll see where it goes.
We're getting a number two bus.
Cameras up here too. We can just borrow their feed up top.
We were being watched. We're getting on the number two bus to City Hall.
Now we have the watchers.
Who watches the watchers?
We do.
People of Worcester. Cable customers.
Can I get a day pass? A day pass? Excuse me? Are you gonna come back here?
No.
From City Hall? Oh, okay. Then that's okay. I thought you're gonna come back here. Then you need this one.
All right.
So that you don't pay more. Okay.
$350, right?
Yeah.
Do I need to do it here?
No, that's okay.
Okay.
I want whatever.
Hi, Drew.
Hi, Mike. How's it going?
Good. You want to move back a little bit? Sure. Back?
We're going to do the back of the bus?
Let's do I don't
think it looks like a nice conference center.
It's
in the back.
It gets super loud. If we can.
Oh, yeah, because of the. Cause yeah. Of the
so outside voice is important for this part. So, Jeff, how have you been?
I'm still alive. And here I am.
Is there anything that you see being promising in 2010 in Western?
Well, getting through 2010 is the main goal for me, because at the end of the year I turn 62 and I'll be able to collect my Social Security retirement.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward. That's what I'm looking forward to. It's the end of 2010.
Is that going to influence your online participation that so many people have there?
Yeah, that'll make a big difference. Freeze me up.
Have you ever considered trying to make money from the Warrentown Taxi blog?
Well, I do.
Okay.
When people click on the ads, I get a little bit of money.
Okay.
So it all depends on traffic. If I get more and more traffic, which I am, it's slowly going up, I get a little bit more and a little bit more.
I'm going to ask Brendan. Brendan, could you sit there? I want to ask you. So you were saying when we were interrupted by the bus that city manager is working on this from the city.
Tracy and I were discussing the gigabit fiber program on Google Buzz last night and this morning, and Kate Toomey hopped in there and said that the city is working on it. Mike O'Brien's office is tackling the problem, or okay. The issue. I guess we're coming up with a game plan. In my conversations with Scott Zoback, I believe that he, in some capacity, is also going to try and organize a somewhat official approach to getting...
This would be a Harriet Chandler thing, or just a Zoback solo?
Not exactly sure how that's going to fall. I don't want to put the senator's name on it if that isn't going to be the case. But
okay.
One of the interesting things, as we were saying earlier, is the opportunity for other interested parties to apply. So I think the best case scenario would be every .org, .edu, and .gov in the area all applying, kind of telling a different part of the same large story as to why Worcester would benefit from a program like this.
So if somebody is connected to a college or a nonprofit, they should maybe be looking into this?
Absolutely. It benefits everybody. I mean, it's something where Google is going to come in and do, or is going to offer to do, what Charter is likely never to do. And even if Verizon Fios came in the door tomorrow, we wouldn't be looking at the speeds that Google is talking about here.
Right, this is the kind of thing that
just... This would be a huge leap forward in terms of broadband access within the city.
I hope it happens.
Likewise.
I want to ask Tracy Novick a question, because she's brought her entire family here.
No, not the entire family.
What do you see as being promising things for 2010 for the city? Places where we're going to see some unexpected options.
You know, it's not going to sound like a fair answer, but I never quite know where it's going to come from next. Like, I don't think that we would have said necessarily that we would have had people stepping up to the plate to fundraise for Belmont. Or okay. I don't think we would necessarily have seen the amount of energy that was put together by Worcester's CEO in the last election. Or I have a hard time guessing.
Okay.
That's not a good answer, is it?
No, that's a fine answer, because I think it's a hard question. I mean, I think that, you know, I think that this is one area where, I don't know. Also, I mean, I feel like people in Worcester get burned all the time. So I'm not surprised that people in Worcester are not, as part of the general conversation, whenever people are saying, oh, this is coming and this is going to be great, it's like that skating rink, you know? It's like,
yes.
You're going to give me a skating rink, you're not going to give me any ice. Thank you.
Well, and then on the other hand, you have the people who go over and shovel off Cook's Pond and have three or four skating rinks going on in winter
afternoon. There's tons of skating going on, just not
yes.
in the not in the expenses.
So the and the energy is there too.
Yeah. There's actually people getting on the bus.
Well,
besides us. Yes, indeed. I wanted to actually ask Drew this question too. What do you see as being promising in? Why don't you scoot over a seat? I'll sit here and shoot you this way. What do you think is being promising in 2010?
Promising in 2010? Well, you know my answer.
Childhood literacy.
Childhood literacy? No, it's the vegetarian renaissance.
Is there going to be more? Is this unexpected goodness from the vegetarian renaissance or just the same?
Well, I mean, unexpected is an interesting question. I think that as people start to realize that factory farmings are cruel, they're unnecessary, and that eating animal products is bad for your health, I think it's not surprising that more and more people in Worcester are becoming vegetarian and vegan. And we're seeing all of these cool events happen, like the Worcester Vegetarian Festival that's coming up soon. I don't think it's unexpected, but it is awesome that it's happening in Worcester, you know?
I would have to say, and I'll say this to Tracy. I think this vegetarian renaissance thing is one of these things that's very encouraging to me. Not only because, of course, like, I like vegetarian stuff, but it's just like it seemed like there was all this uncatalyzed energy around this issue, and that once the right group of people came together in the right way, this vegetarian renaissance that we always honestly said is kind of a joke and kind of like just a bunch of hype totally happened. We have a vegetarian festival, we have all these things going on in the city.
I think it's true probably of a lot of things in Worcester, that there's a lot of untapped energy out there, and once people actually see that there's a catalyst or something happening that they can actually jump into, it might not have occurred to them to start it themselves, but that they certainly are happy to join.
Awesome. Well, do you want to call somebody up on that list?
Who would you like to call?
I don't know. Whoever's the first on the list, we should call.
I think...
Actually, let's not call him on the bus, because it'll be too loud for the other people on the bus.
Nicole said she was going to be at Newton Square this morning.
Cool. Is she just going to be waving, or is she going to be getting on?
No, she's going to jump on.
Excellent.
That was what the email said.
Perfect. Maybe we should plan to get off downtown or something like that, where it's a little bit quieter, and we can...
Take a little break downtown, maybe.
When does the other bus
you wanted to catch?
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. This is all spontaneous.
There was another bus at City Hall we were going to catch? Oh.
Oh, there she is. Nicole?
People in a heavy coat.
Yeah.
It is Nicole. She's getting on. Jeff, I want to ask you... Do you have any top stories this week? You haven't been on in so long, and you're the originator of the great phrase that in Worcester there's not necessarily always a top story.
Yeah, I have a memory like a sieve, but I posted about something this morning, and I can't quite remember what it was.
Okay. So there's something. It's not necessarily memorable, but is it an important issue this week?
This show, this is the most important thing happening in Worcester this week, is the number 100 show.
Of Worcester's most loved show.
And there will be a movie.
An HD version.
And there'll be a trailer. And, it'll be, I think this show is the most important thing happening in Worcester this week. I really do.
We're going to go over here and talk to Nicole, who just got on the bus.
Hi.
How's it going?
Nice to see you again.
Hi.
Nice to see you again.
Hi.
So this is Nicole, famous for blogging about Worcester now for a few months.
Semi-famous.
How's it going this morning?
Very well, thank you.
So there's one thing that we're talking about today on the show. We're trying to get from people a sense of what do they feel is promising in Worcester in 2010? Where are we going to see unexpected good things? And, you know... Not that nobody but you expects this, but that like maybe the average person doesn't expect. We'll be surprised to find.
The average person. I don't know. We've still got, 10 months to go for a skating rink. You know, that could happen. I don't know. We've still got... I don't know. I'm not a very positive person, so, you know. Isn't it obvious? I don't know. Or you know what? Maybe the street signs will be...
Standardized.
That's my big goal.
This is an issue which I think you have done a brilliant job of going through the typography and design of the signage in Worcester.
Yeah.
Which is, how many different varieties of signage are we talking about in the city?
A lot. At least, well, I mean, from what I've seen, probably at least 7, 8, 10,
A dozen.
Jeff drives more than I do, so.
is this just because every 5 years the city goes with a new design, or why is this?
I don't know. I mean, when my husband talked to the engineer at DPW, who shall remain nameless because we didn't tell him we were, going to be using his name. He said that he didn't think that this was any grand plan, which obviously it doesn't look like it, but that they've just started replacing signs as they do road work. So, I don't know.
So nobody knows why this is.
I don't think so. At least he didn't. And if anyone, I mean, if we were going to be doing something, it would look better than how it looks now, I would think. I mean, maybe not.
You mean just the variety of stuff is a problem, that there are just no good signs?
There are good signs, but they were made 30 years ago. I mean, that's basically my problem, is that we're doing, sorry, we're having a parental moment. Hold on. I don't want to interrupt.
Someone
that
is pointing silently and sternly at small children.
Part of the problem is that we have a large variety of signs, of the signs that have been put out there for the past 5 years. We have some signs that have serif fonts. We have some signs with sans serif. We have some with uppers and lowers. We have some with just uppers. And even just placement of the street designation, so street versus ave, is in a different spot.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes we put in a heart, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we have the city seal, sometimes we don't. And ultimately we're also not complying with the federal and state highway designation. So if we ever wanted to apply for federal or state money for our streets, they have to be compliant if the street is above 25 miles an hour, which is most of the city streets are.
Does the government tell you what kind of signage to use, or just use consistent signage?
They have certain specifications. They like it. The federal government likes a green background with white letters. The state has a little bit more flexibility there, but I mean, obviously, we're doing green on white, so that's not a problem. They do have some recommended sign looks. They like you to have a 9-inch blank, which means that it's 9 inches, and the uppers are 6 inches, and the lowercase, they used to be 4 inches, and now it's, I mean, it used to be 3, and now it's 4. So, yeah, we're not really complying with that.
This is ridiculous. You looked at every sign in Worcester.
No. You should.
You're missing out.
This
man
is all my husband and I talk about every night. Besides Mike Germaine, we talk about Mike Germaine right before we go to bed, and then right before that, we talk street signs for an hour. So that's yeah.
You're not the only obsessed person in the city.
I know. Just
you can run a sign. Just send one up. Wow.
So yeah.
So those federal guidelines, are those just suggestions, or are they actually tied to funding? Are they mandates, or are they recommendations?
I believe if you're doing a project that has federal highway money attached, and I don't know exactly what that means. Actually, my husband did a lot more research, so he knows more. You actually would get, they do want to see signs that have a certain format. I mean, they're not specifying the font,
mm-hmm,
but they are saying we want a 9-inch with 6-inch uppers and 4-inch lowercase.
Sure.
So yeah, they do, and they do have samples on their website, which are much better looking than the ones we have.
Yeah, the samples all look like the old signs from Sesame Street, I noticed.
Well, maybe
the
there's
rounded top.
Yeah.
I didn't think signs like that actually existed anywhere on the planet. I thought it was like a creation from Sesame Street.
Maybe they got some suggestions from Big Bird.
Well, it's nice that Sesame Street actually seems to be following federal guidelines, so, which is
they get funding.
They get federal funding. It makes perfect
exactly,
sense.
Yeah.
It's full circle.
Oh, man.
Your tax dollars at work.
I think I know why the ice skating rink was never finished.
This is what they're worrying about. The amount of detail involved, just the signage for the city.
But also, if two amateurs like us can read some federal websites and say, oh, this looks good and this doesn't look good, then I would assume that professional engineers could do the same thing. I mean, I'm not an engineer. I don't know anything about traffic design, but
right,
I know what looks good and what I can read. And also, someone commenting on my blog, too, said the problem with those thinner fonts is that if someone's, you know, driving along trying to find something, it's tough to get the street designation. You know, like, it's tough to see which street it is. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's me and I have poor vision or whatever. But, you know, so people might slow down, or they might do some wacky U-turn. I mean, which they would do anyway because it's the city of Worcester. But, you know, I mean, ultimately, the street signs are there, you know, for people, but also for safety, you know.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I want to ask Brendan Malikin another question.
Yes?
What are other important issues to talk about this week?
Important issues to talk about this week? I don't know if I have anything.
Is there nothing else going on in the city?
I'm sure there's something going on, but I was expecting such a heavy turnout as we already have. I didn't think I would have to come up with anything interesting.
Yeah.
I totally slept on the interesting part.
So here we are. We're driving down. We're now in the good section of Pleasant Street.
Former home of Happy Birthday Mike Leslie, now FYC.
The FYC right there. And we're going by, and this is the old Peace Park here that we're going by. which we should have done a show from, but we never have. And we are in the Piedmont neighborhood.
We are.
Yeah. So how do you feel about episode 100?
So far, so good.
We've literally done 100
episodes. Now that I'm standing up, I feel better. Sitting down, it didn't feel right. But standing up on the bus, it's made all the difference in the world. I would suggest the same to everybody else. Standing up on the bus is definitely the way to go.
Here's somebody else getting on the bus who's not on our list of people to be on the show. It's actually three people. I'm actually surprised at how many people are getting on the bus.
I was not expecting this big of a crowd. It's kind of having like a studio audience. But it's a studio audience that could get hostile at any time. It could be more like the Jerry Springer show.
Unwilling studio audience. I wanted to tell you what I'm excited about in Worcester this year. What has promise.
What has promise.
Hopefully my life has promise in Worcester this year.
Well,
this remains to be seen. I think that the Empower Biodiesel Co-op has a lot of promise in Worcester this year. That these, have we talked about them on the show before? Do you know what I'm talking about? This is a project good friends of mine are working on.
If it was before episode 99, I might not remember.
All right. So we may have talked about this in older episodes. Basically, the idea was that you had a bunch of people who had criminal records. We've often talked about the criminal records laws and in this state, which make it very hard if you have misdemeanors or felonies to get a job. Many employers will reject you, your resume, without seeing you or without looking at the resume if they know you have a record.
Right.
So a bunch of people who were in this situation, who had been working on ex-prisoner rights group issues, said, let's just make ourselves some damn jobs. And so their idea has been, and they've been working on this for years now, to create a biodiesel co-op. So you know diesel cars can burn vegetable oil. Diesel engines originally designed apparently to burn vegetable oil as well as other oils. You can treat that vegetable oil, kind of take ingredients out of it that you can turn around and make soap out of.
Mm-hmm.
And you can treat the vegetable oil to make it thinner like diesel, so it'll even work good in cold weather. So they call this biodiesel.
Sure.
Some people just burn the straight vegetable oil in their car. These guys, basically, their idea was, we're going to make a biodiesel processing facility. I think they're just over the city line where their facility is. And here we are heading towards downtown. And
I didn't recognize the name of any street he just named.
No, I don't think.
I think he's on the wrong route, Mike.
I think that this bus may go through a gateway. Hyperspace thing.
Oh, so we're going to Cuba.
This bus goes to Cuba. Anyway, so these guys are actually like on their way though. They're going around. They're picking up donated oil from restaurants who otherwise have to pay to have it taken away. They're getting that processed by another facility into biodiesel while they're building up their own biodiesel. And there's a lot of issues involving fuel licensing for fuel or for vehicle fuel. For home heating, it's much less. So probably they end up still start off selling oil for home heating.
Sure.
But it's pretty exciting that they have a truck and they're driving around and they're picking up oil and they're getting it recycled.
And the first thing that came to mind when you were talking about cost and licensing and whatnot is, over the last few years, it seems as though there's been no shortage of restaurants that have been complaining about the high cost of like grease traps or upgrading services to get rid of a lot of this waste. I would imagine that a service like this would actually be jumped all over for by businesses that do have to.
It depends on how they get rid of them, because grease traps is oftentimes, that's for going from the sink to the sewer to take load off, I guess, the sewage treatment plant.
Right.
And so that's a whole different thing. Like the one church that I sometimes do work at is getting that upgraded. Right?
Really?
They have no fry-lator or anything.
They still have to.
They just have to upgrade the grease trap. So it may not help with that. But there's actually, there was another article in the paper about an entrepreneur in Boylston who has been, let's get off the bus here, what do you say? An entrepreneur in Boylston who has a thing where they basically make a generator that burns the straight grease that would be on the restaurant's premises that the restaurant could dump their grease into and create their own electricity.
Huh.
And this, we're getting off the bus here. Let's go over to City Hall. It's a little afternoon time right now.
Good citizens and do the crosswalk?
What?
Could we be good citizens and
do the crosswalk? Let's do the crosswalk. I don't want to break laws in front of the senator over there. Somebody's setting up a table or taking down a table?
Taking down a table.
So this is what, this. If people who don't ride the bus, Worcester City Hall is kind of where all the bus lines meet. And So anyway, so I saw this article in the TNG the other day about this guy in Boylston and his company. And I thought, where have I heard this before? And
where's the rest of the crew?
I think we lost everybody.
No, they're coming.
Yeah. Like, while we're waiting for that, is that Mary Lou Retton on that sign?
It looks like it.
Is that the young Mary Lou Retton? It is Mary Lou Retton.
But why is she being used to promote an event that's happening like in this?
Because she's
this
a
century?
Great West Virginian.
Oh.
Let me tell you, as a West Virginia native, West Virginia license plates, 6 digits. Mary Lou Retton's, 7 digits. Mary Lou. She doesn't actually live in the state anymore, but when she did,
she had that plate.
She had the 7-digit license plate. Anyway, it was interesting. I looked online. There was a similar article about this guy in Boylston. Mm-hmm. We're missing our crosswalk here. Last January. And since then, they've installed 3 of these. So they're also on their way, you know, trying to use waste grease locally.
And biodiesel is still one of those things that, you know, is at least accessible to people who want to kind of tinker at home, right, in terms of, like, engine conversions and whatnot. I mean,
yeah.
Going from a diesel engine for a vehicle to
yeah.
biodiesel.
You can buy a kit for $600. Probably people who watch this show know people who have vehicles that can
right.
do this. Here's our crew right here. 508 laser. Anyway, that's something that I think has a lot of promise. Did we miss our crosswalk?
No, there was like a demo doing something. Folding
tables and boxes. Oh, holy crap.
Vegetable peelers.
Really nice to see pedestrians waiting for the pedestrian light in Worcester. I mean, this is a
we're the ones. We're the ones.
No, it just...
What's amazing is when you do this, when you just stand at the crosswalk, everyone else gets behind you.
That's
it's like
right.
people actually get nervous to cross the street when they
that's
see someone standing.
Right. But if someone takes off, like we're doing now, without that chirping bird sound,
you'll all fall.
Right. We need to make a left here and pick up Bruce Russell and figure out where the 16 bus leaves from.
Okay.
Or we need to make a right here and pick him up.
Right.
Well, we could ask one of these bus drivers.
Where the 16 goes from? Let's do it.
Guests over here.
We do have some guests over here. Plus, we
no
have a.
Guest and Matt
Feinstein. And Paul Levitsky is here.
Hello.
Gentlemen.
How are you guys doing?
Who came in?
We have Matt Feinstein and Bruce Russell, longtime guests on the show. You know, Matt, we've had more than 40 people on this show.
Yeah, I believe it.
I don't believe it because I feel like it's always me and Brendan. What?
I found Matt Feinstein before because I was sitting right here and I found him walking across the street. So I guess I found him.
You know these other guys?
Yeah, of course.
This is Nicole, Worcester blogger. I wanted to ask you, what do you think has promise in 2010 in Worcester? Where are we going to see unexpected good things arise? Maybe not unexpected to the hip insider people who watch this show, but...
Well, probably the new skyscrapers being built downtown. No.
Oh, hold on. Tracy's leaving. Thanks for being on the show.
Hey!
You guys have a good time at the library. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hey, Paul, do you want to be on our TV
show? I was joking about the...
homeless.
I was joking about the skyscrapers. I think some green jobs are coming up soon. Stone Super rebuilt. It's going to be a great year. I can feel it. And I have a surprise for 508. No one knew this was coming, but...
I knew it was coming. I got a pocket full of change.
Uh-oh.
Hold on. We're going to take a break here. We're going to take a commercial break here and say... you're watching 508, a show about Worcester. This is our 100th episode. For people on TV, you're watching episode 2 of a 2-parter. For people at home, you're watching episode 1 of a 1-parter. Matt Feinstein. You can reintroduce if you need to.
It's the right time in Worcester. It's the right place. We're proud of our heritage and we love Mechanics Hall, Lamb Park, and all 508. We got the beat. You'll find our civic pride out beaming wide on neighborhood streets. It's the right time in Worcester, it's the right place. And we thank you for caring about Worcester the way we do. 508 everybody, 100 episodes. All right, congratulations.
All right.
You actually can't keep
So this will actually be the beginning of part two of the two-parter. It's February 13th, 2010, Mike Benedetti, 5-Way to Show About Worcester. We got Bruce Russell. You want to be on this show, Paul?
Paul, that's all.
Hey, Paul, how's it going? Good to see you, man.
Hi, Mike.
Drew Wilson, Nicole, Jeff Barnard, Brendan Mellon.
Still here.
Matt Feinstein.
And Jordan Levy.
Worcester Zone, it says on the sign.
It's an awful
Jordan
picture.
Levy, not actually Worcester Zone. Yeah. Bruce!
Well, I remember the time we said that we're over the free Worcester all in Happy Birthday, like
HBML, yeah.
Yeah, you asked me, but I said, what, usually be a dispatcher? Usually be a
dispatcher.
Yeah, dispatcher.
Remember that.
Bruce Russell, I want to ask you a question.
Hey, what's that? I got an answer for you. I don't know if it'd be good as good as that what you want to hear, but I shake from the middle heart.
All right, this is you don't have those spiky things on. No,
I'm saying the land from Britain.
There you go. So here's a question.
All right.
What has promise in Worcester in 2010? Where are we going to see something good come out of Worcester in 2010 that we weren't expecting to see something good?
Actually, I'll be leaving this summer.
You're leaving is going to be good. Is it going to be good or bad that you're leaving?
It'll be good.
Why? Because good for you or good for the city?
Good for me. I don't give a fuck about the city.
Oh, don't swear on this show. This is a cable.
I don't care about the city, you know.
It's our first edit.
Thanks, Bruce.
First edit.
So, do we know where the 16 bus is leaving from?
From over here.
Let's walk over there. All right. Worcester. City Hall. Senator George Frisbee Hoare. Great senator. Champion of human rights, champion of justice.
He asked me a question, so I answered it.
He gave an honest answer.
I gave him an honest answer. What more can I tell you? I'm the man of my word. What can I say?
Is this 16 right here? Is this 16 the stop?
Yeah, that's what that bus driver told me on Saturday. 16 leaves from here.
All right. Well, Brendan, you want to call? You want to call somebody?
Sure.
All right. This is a 508, a show about Worcester. Every week we talk about important things going on in the city. Today we got a special one-hour episode for our 100th show. And already I'm feeling where I normally feel after half an hour of show these days, which is that...
Exhausted?
Mentally exhausted.
Spent. Do you feel spent at this point?
Unclear if there's anything going on.
Are you
going to
have an
important
intermission?
We already had our intermission.
No, I mean, you know, when you have the final version of the show in the can... Have an intermission in the middle.
No, it's going to be split.
Oh, is this like
half and half?
Is it suspense or dispense?
What do you got?
Should be Jacob. Somewhere.
Jacob!
Might be still there.
We're trying to talk to Jacob Brenda, speaking of HBML.
Hey, Jacob!
Yeah.
Jacob, you're on episode 100 of 508, a show about Worcester.
Got it back.
Hey, man.
Here, do you want to hold the phone? Do you want to hold the phone? You hold the phone? Okay. Jacob, we're asking everybody. So we're asking everybody.
You know, we should probably step away from the giant diesel engine in Jacob's ear.
We're asking everybody this week, what do they think is promising in Worcester in 2010? Where are we going to see some unexpected goodness? Now, you have forsaken the city of Worcester, and you live in Providence.
That's partially true. That's partially true. I have my studio in Providence, technically.
You have a studio in Providence.
Right. Because right, but my heart is always still in Worcester.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just the everyday perseverance. Things keep going. Things keep popping up. You know, I got some of my favorite spots that I don't want to blow up on your million-selling radio show.
Okay.
But, I don't know. Just the fact that people keep going.
There you go. The fact that people are not giving up will be unexpected. It always is unexpected to me that people don't give up in Worcester.
Just throw their hands up in the air and walk away in a collective disgruntled mass.
Well, Jacob, thanks for being on the show, man.
All right, man. Have a good one. Have a good 100th episode.
Oh, we will. All right. Great. Thanks, man. We're going to go talk to Kevin Kassen here.
Hey there, Mike. How are you? Congratulations.
Good. It's good to see you, Kevin.
Good to see you.
So here's what we're asking people this week on 508, a show about Worcester. We're saying, what's promising in Worcester in 2010? Where are we going to see something unexpected and awesome crop up?
doesn't have to be.
I'd say the campaign starting early for 2011.
You think that's going to be awesome?
Yeah, I do. I got a good feel for it this year.
What's going to be the positivity of the campaign? Because some people would say, oh my God, the campaigns.
I think there's a lot of frustration coming out of this past year. And it's interesting to see so many people talking about election politics this early. So it feels good.
Frustration.
Is it just that Facebook makes it way too easy to announce candidacy for a city council campaign 2 years in advance, or are people actually interested?
I think it's more than that. I think it's more than that. I think it's people really talking and thinking it's going to happen.
I know why they're starting the campaign so early.
Why?
Because there's not enough for people to talk about. And if it's a good policy, does policy does if it's probably they always say to help the other guy out.
What's
the honesty have anything to do with policy?
Alright. We're getting on the 16 bus. Bye guys. Alright. Now we're getting on the bus.
What does honesty have anything to do with policy?
This is a good point. Some people say honesty is the best policy.
Well, I mean, people in the White House don't know how to speak honestly.
What?
I said people in the White House don't know how to speak honestly.
You think people in Worcester can speak honestly?
No, I don't think so.
So, were you happy with the way the city council elections turned out in Worcester? Last time we talked to you was before this election.
I don't know. I didn't vote for it.
There you go.
They do enough for me, so.
Good point. We're getting on the number 16, heading out towards UMass. See how this goes.
Understand why it's important to everybody.
So have you heard any other small groups percolating up? Or
people actually know it even exists?
You guys talking about the fiber thing? We're
talking about fiber, yes.
What do you think about the fiber project, Kevin?
You might.
I think it'd be great for Worcester. I think the conversation would be great for Worcester.
The conversation alone, I mean, is
what?
The cover me for the bus?
I don't have any money.
I don't either, so.
You ready? Yeah, you heading out?
Yeah.
Bruce Russell, thanks for being on the show.
Hey, you going to be around tomorrow at the house?
I'll talk to you, yeah.
You going to be in your life tomorrow then?
I'll call you on the phone.
Okay.
All right, man.
Bruce, I'm sorry to see more of you.
Hi.
Hi.
How's it going?
So.
Kevin, Brandon. Let me ask you a couple of questions there, Kevin.
All right.
You want to sit
where,
on
where
there?
You want me? Where's the studio?
Why don't you sit right there and I'll sit right here.
So I don't actually know.
Have you met Nicole before?
I haven't. Just briefly now.
Well, you know her from her blog, though.
I recognize the name, but that's it.
So, Kevin, you know about, I would have to say, the most controversial thing you're involved with right now is probably Save Our Pools.
There's a whole lot of non-controversial things I'm involved in.
What are you involved in that you want to talk about?
What are you excited about
in the city that you're not involved in that you want to talk about?
Worcester World Cup. We're gearing up for next year's Worcester World Cup.
So the Worcester World Cup is a deal where you got mostly immigrants from the city.
Mostly, well,
playing soccer.
Everyone's immigrant, depending on how you call yourself. So,
all right.
You know, no Native American team. But we're gearing for the second week in August. Right now, we're trying to figure out whether we can get back into Foley Stadium. One of the challenges in Worcester continues to be accessing places like Foley Stadium. So, for us to use Foley Stadium, even as a community-based group, it's $2,500 to get the doors open over there to get
Holy
it for
smokes.
The 2 days. So that's a big, huge chunk of money to try and move forward. So. We're trying to figure out how to do that.
And how many people were at Worcester World Cup last year? This is a big thing, right?
Yeah, it's grown every year. Last year we were actually forced over to Foley Stadium because of the renovations that we were able to get over at Elm Park Field. So part of this Worcester World Cup is about moving soccer forward in the city and creating a space for immigrant leaders to have a stronger voice in the city. So, you know, here we are at City Hall where we just built an ice skating rink, which really doesn't serve any of the new immigrants moving to Worcester.
I think calling it an ice skating rink is too optimistic at this point.
It has a big wall around it.
Yes.
So,
considering that most of them are representative of immigrant populations, do people participating mind using the word soccer, or do they prefer calling it football?
Probably football more, even outside of the Latino world. Yeah. So we go back and forth. But
given the audience.
I like using the term hand egg just to upset American football fans, but it doesn't seem to be catching.
Yeah. So, but we had 500-700 people there last year. Don't really have an official count because we didn't do the count thing, but...
How many nations are we talking about?
I think it was 16 last year, uh-huh. Men and women, which is an amazing group. And the audience was predominantly people of color and people from different immigrant communities. And, there's Albanians in my neighborhood have stopped me already, asking me, like, are we going to have it again next year? Where is it going to be? You know, it really resonates in the immigrant communities in Worcester, so we want to keep going.
I want to ask you about self-sustaining and projects in Worcester. This is something I've been thinking about. if you have people who are kind of coming out of the community organizing activist world, maybe the world of politics and government, or people with money, you can start something, you can make it happen. Worcester's not such a big town that you can't get a lot of publicity and a lot of energy around something. But then,
wow, it's so quiet.
Oh my goodness. And then, I don't know if anyone will be able to hear any words from this show. This may be like the infamous episode 40.
It'd be even better though, it'd be a white noise show. And some faces, no sound.
So, I guess what I'm trying to say is that you can start something and you can kind of keep pouring energy into it. And it seems like at some point you want it to be just like this thing that always happens. And that people from outside the activist and community organizing world, and maybe from the world of immigrant soccer enthusiasts, take it over. Or whatever your project is, that's kind of what you want to see happen. Do you feel like you guys are getting close to that, or do you have any thoughts on that whole, the difficulty of making that kind of thing happen?
I think we're a success, and I think we'll keep going. I think the challenge for us now, it has become to what extent the city wants to or is willing to really support something like this. So, like I say, $2,500 to get into Foley Stadium is a lot of money for a community event. And one that is, a gift to the city every bit as much as some of the other larger events that we have during the summer, what have you. So we want to, but, we have hurdles. There aren't going to be a lot of corporate sponsors stepping up to give money to immigrant soccer. It's just, we're not at a place in the United States and in Worcester at this point for that to happen. So... it'd be great if we can work with the city this year to try and find a way to sustain it. I think we're pretty solid, but to be solidified at Foley Stadium is the challenge this year.
So what is the cost again?
$2,500 for Foley.
For Foley Stadium.
So, and then, all the other kind of costs that come with it and what have you, so.
So this is still the kind of thing where it's not all just, there's not a manual for this is how we do Worcester World Cup every year. It's like, let's figure a space, let's organize this and that. Is there still a lot of things that are happening year to year differently?
I think each year we've tried to grow and improve. I think this coming year we'd like to add more activities for young people. So there's something for kids to do off on the side. They'll watch soccer for a while, but they'll get a little bored. So if we can pull off some things on the side. But certainly if we add in a moon bounce, we add in some children's activity, there's going to be a cost to that. Mm-hmm. And so it's always making those numbers work. And I think that's the challenge for any event planner, was where they're coming out of the activist community, or they're coming out of the let's make Worcester a better place community, or the arts community. It's like it's challenging to do events in Worcester still.
So now we're driving near by the library here. What are you seeing around us? What memories are being jogged here? This is our Worcester with Kevin Kassin travel that we're having all of a sudden.
Well, I guess the one memory for me would be the longest night. So we did the vigil here a couple years ago. Remembering homeless folks that have died homeless in Worcester.
Yeah.
And right over here is where one person had died two, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's why I remember this stretch, I'd say.
Yeah.
Another thing coming up I'm working on is the week of February 22nd is Dominican Independence Week.
Okay.
So the group I'm a part of, Casa Cultural Dominicana de Worcester, is planning a series of events over the course of February 22nd that week. So. On February 22nd at 5 o'clock, there will be a flag ceremony at City Hall. We're really glad to have the mayor sponsoring it for the first time this year. So I'm proud to announce we're going to be back inside City Hall. So we were asked to step out of City Hall, but we're getting back in. So that's a great achievement. And then the evening of the 26th will be at Atwood Hall at Clark University for a cultural night. So we're glad to have that part of the event going forward, too.
Awesome. How has that, I actually should ask you about, the whole Haiti thing vis-a-vis Worcester's Dominican community. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, the Dominican community of Worcester was one of the first groups to step forward to do some fundraising. Raised over $3,000 in the week after the disaster. And it's really good. So certainly there's a historical clash between Haitians and Dominicans, two poor countries sharing a border. But it was really good to kind of work together on that and move forward. And Casa Cultural Dominicana is talking about trying to do another fundraiser in the future to send support to Haiti.
Yeah. Awesome. Do you have anything to say? I kind of feel like we should try to get off the bus at some point and call more people on the phone.
Union Station.
Yeah. Would you feel, Kevin, would you feel robbed if we got off the bus at Union Station?
I can deal with that.
All right. This is a, this is longer. Here we are coming to Worcester's historic Union Station, home of the train, home of the Greyhound.
I want to get off at the station.
We're getting off at Union Station. All the people at home are watching this and going, this is basically what I expected from these guys. We'll see what they let us know. Well, we're going to be in the canal district.
Skirting it.
This is it.
Looks pretty.
Energy and excitement. The canal district. Do you have anything to say?
To say? Well, I'll have lots of overdub, voicing overdubs today. You know,
let me talk to you, Nicole, for a minute here while we're getting ready to get off the bus. Have you thought of anything else that's promising or exciting coming up in this video?
You know, actually, I was thinking a little bit about social media and City of Worcester. And, you know, one thing I would love to see is more podcasts, obviously, because I'm a big fan of 508. But the other thing is I would like to see the city get its act together more with regards to social media and Facebook and Twitter. And actually, I'd actually be interested to hear more of what Brendan would have to say about that, too.
So we're going to try to call some other people here.
Hey, we ended up at the meat market.
Do you want to walk over towards Union Station or do you want to walk over towards... Yeah. Right. Let's walk over towards Union Station and...
We get a day pass. We can walk and go anywhere we want in the city.
We got day passes here. We're living large on the bus.
They have good meat here.
This is the... Is this Fairway?
This
is the opposite of the vegan movement. This is like...
They have big
This
bars,
is the
man.
Center of meat.
They got tons of vegan stuff in there, I'm telling you. So Nicole was just mentioning, Nicole was just talking about the question of whether it's worth the city's while to try to connect, to try to do more with social media as a city.
Yeah.
Does this make sense, or is this just like...
You know, it does, but it's something that needs to be approached, I think, carefully, where it should never be... any sort of marketing efforts the city does, and whenever it gets involved in something like social media, even if it is for information purposes, ultimately comes down to a marketing angle. And my concern is always that people jump feet first into, say, like Facebook or Twitter or what have you. They get all amped up about the potential without looking at the long-term reality, which is the likelihood that most of these services will fade away over time.
Right.
Like if we were having this conversation 5 or 6 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, people would have been saying, we need to get on MySpace.
Right,
the city of Worcester
right.
needs to be on... And where would that get you now? It would get you absolutely nowhere.
Right.
So, I mean, it really needs to be more... Instead of just focusing on using tools, the focus needs to be on a more fluid mindset that will allow the city to take advantage of anything that comes up down the line with its existing data pool, which is really, I think, what they should be shooting for is, you know... keeping all of their information, all of their data portable in a fashion that will allow them to make use of the tools that don't currently exist 10 years from now, as well as the tools that are out there today that would be great for PR, marketing, and distribution of information to the general public.
So maybe to have just, for example, like just RSS feeds of city information, which are then automatically being syndicated on Facebook. There's a dude looking at us with amusement in this car.
Oh, sure. And today, I mean, I think there is a probably a good case to be made for, you know, like podcasts or you know, Twitter feeds and whatnot today. But it shouldn't be, you know, banking on those as being, you know, of having those tools as having any sort of longevity. I think that's the important thing, is just making, being able to both make use of what's out there today, but keep an eye on the fact that most of these tools, or at least their use, will start drying up over time.
Right, right.
How'd you guys get up there?
We just stayed on the path, man. We just stayed on the path. Can you call whoever's next on the list?
Yeah.
We got about 10 minutes left in this show. We're heading towards Union Station. Hi, everybody. You know, Kevin, a friend of mine was just asking me, is Worcester very bike friendly? And I said, no, and it's not very pedestrian friendly either. And then I thought, and it's not very car friendly either. It's just not
public
friendly.
Public transportation.
Public transportation, sure, yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't want to sell Worcester's public transportation too much here.
We do have bike racks different places, though.
We have bike racks?
There's a bike rack stand coming to City Hall Plaza, right?
What do we have?
Jesse?
All right, we're going to get Jesse Pack on here in a second. Actually, Kevin, I want to talk to you about getting Pleasant Street made into a two-way street.
Okay.
If Jesse doesn't pick up the... Hey, Jesse, it's Mike Benedetti. How's it going?
Hey, it's good. What's up, man?
Good. I want to ask you one quick question. You're on the 508 show.
Okay.
So Jesse Pack, occasional appearer on 508. Somebody's making crazy car noises down there.
Yeah.
Whoa. There's smoke coming out. There's smoke coming out of this car. Sorry about that. Jesse, of course, has come on the show to talk about the Transgender Emergency Fund, other such things. News broken on the show. Jesse, what are you enthusiastic about in 2010? Where are we going to see unexpected greatness arise in Worcester in the coming year?
Well, the thing that I've been working on that I'm excited about is the Trans Emergency Fund is going to be releasing a fundraiser calendar in May.
Awesome.
It's going to be wicked exciting, so be on the lookout for that. Other than that, I'm pretty happy that President Obama released a nationwide campaign called Every 9.5 Minutes to raise awareness about the fact that every 9.5 minutes somebody in the U.S. is infected with HIV.
Okay.
So, you know, despite all the unpleasantness with the economy and stuff, you know, we got some good things coming up on the horizon.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being on the show, and thanks for celebrating episode 100 with us.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Cool.
Thank you, Jesse.
And we got one more number we try to get on there.
Can I go inside?
Yeah, I'm just going inside. Kevin, so we have 7 minutes left in the show. Kevin, I wanted to ask you about this thing of Pleasant Street being a one-way street.
Uh-huh.
Was Pleasant Street a one-way street at one point?
It was turned into a one-way street, I believe, in the 70s at some point.
The whole street was a one-way street?
The downtown to...
Park
to Irving Street.
Downtown to Irving. Okay.
Right. And so what happened, we were doing community organizing in the Pleasant Street neighborhood in the early 90s, was businesses were saying how much that impacted them. So you think of the businesses that had been there at that point, pizza shop, hardware shop, pharmacy, they all talked about people driving home from work, stopping, jumping out, buying this, buying that. And so they noticed an incredible drop off of their customer base. Because
mm-hmm.
Not only did it the one way interrupt that, but the path to get to the west side from downtown became extremely circuitous. And because of other one ways, it was a real hassle to get back onto Pleasant Street if you came up one of the other side streets.
So how did this, we're running out of time so briefly, how did this actually work then? How did you actually get the street to become a two-way street?
It was close to 2 years of organizing, pushing the city, saying this doesn't work. And fortunately what happened concurrently, city planners and folks started realizing that there wasn't this east-west traffic happening along Worcester. And so certainly folks started talking about how the Galleria had disrupted and cut the east-west traffic. And this whole idea of like drilling the hole through the Galleria so people could get through.
Right.
So that whole conversation started, which made our conversation around Pleasant Street's one way more real. And so eventually we were able to get it switched.
Do you think are there people who regret that it became a two-way?
I don't think so. Even the businesses that I used to regularly talk to in that first block off of Main Street were worried about losing parking, places like Lou John, what have you. But they all said after it opened up that they still had their parking and was working out and they appreciated it.
Good.
And I think places like Bonnons up in my end have benefited from customers being able to get to their stores now.
Fantastic. Well, I just want to say thanks to everybody for a good 100 shows. Let's go back here, and Jeff Barnard is being very weird back there. Now we suddenly move to a very quiet place. The business hub that is Union Station, the transportation hub.
It's amazing, the people coming and going.
We should always tape here. This is quieter than anywhere we ever tape.
And warmer. Let's get the two things we're always shooting for, quiet and warmth.
Well, do you guys have any final thoughts, anything you're looking for the next 100 episodes of this program?
A quiet environment to do the show in.
What are you looking for for the next 100 episodes?
I don't know. I kind of feel like we're in a groove. It's kind of nice to make the show. I feel like sometimes the shows are not that great. Sometimes the shows are wonderful. We get a lot of positive feedback overall about the shows. People usually are not like, why did you send me that link? I just wasted an hour of my life. But I don't know. I mean, you know, the show is nothing like I think we originally expected the show to be. It's probably better in a lot of ways. I don't know. I think that the video thing has both expanded the reach and been a challenge because now it's, I mean, today we had, 10, 11, 12 people on the show, including small children. We used to do that all the time. It's very hard now to have...
50 episodes ago, we weren't sure if there were that many people watching.
If there were 11 or 12 people watching. And now we know that there were.
There are that many. There actually
this is the great thing about doing it. But having to get everybody in person. I mean, the cell phone works a little bit, but overall, not the greatest thing in the world. Anyway, always makes me think we should go back to just doing audio. Simplify things. Who the heck knows? Anyway, well, thanks, guys, for being on the show.
Thank you.
Kevin Kassin. Nicole, how do you say your last name, Nicole?
Apostola.
Nicole Apostola. Brendan, how do you say your last name?
Melican.
Brandon Melican and Jeff Barnard, Wormtown Taxi. All right, guys. All right, well, if you don't watch any other episodes after this, episode 200 will also be an hour episode.
How do we get home now?
Bus pass. All-day bus pass.